No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Brian.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Brian.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 69 of No Sir, I Don't Like
It. Is it really?
It is.
We saved it for you,
Shut
baby.
Shut up, you motherfuckers.
You know, we had an asterisk when we started this podcast. We had an asterisk next to number 69, and we wrote Matt McCarthy in
it. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
Everybody has something to do.
Even the camera guy loves it.
Because it's just got so many things to work with. It's like a fun challenge. Do I go from this side or do I go from this side? Do I show everybody the whole process?
And it's one of those things, too, where like if the other person stops participating, you're like, oh, I'm doing a really good job because they can't even concentrate anymore.
So it's a nice little ego boost, a little pat on the pat on the back or the forehead, I guess. I don't know.
It's just so
pat somewhere.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, what's your favorite 69ing story? No, I'm just kidding. He's really
I'm trying to think if I have one. There was one time I was in my parents' basement, and
this is weird.
Me and a young lady were on on the couch in the basement, and then all of a sudden, like, I feel like they were home the whole time. And it was like in the afternoon, too. Oh, so it was like,
it was afternoon delight.
Yeah. So it felt like, well, nobody's going to come down here and be like, what are you two doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think the Hulkster was going to come downstairs and be like, hey, wait a second, brother. You got 69 on my couch, dude. put it away. Both of you. Like, she jumped up. Like, somebody started. Say like, hey, Matthew, you know, we need to go to blow. And she jumped up and ran. It was like one
ran
half of the
all the way home. She jumped out of the window out of the basement.
Like one side of the basement was furnished and the other side was, you know, like washer and dryer and pipes and tools and
utility
all that.
Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She started like taking out like her handful of clothes and shit.
Jumped in the dryer.
Well, nothing ever happened.
Good. I'm glad your parents.
I'm glad your parents numerology festival
right?
You're having.
There was like a big drainage sink next to the washer, you know, it would drain the water from it. And there were nights that, and I years later, I found out from my brother, he used to do the same thing. Just
come into the drain?
Couldn't be bothered to walk upstairs to use the bathroom, would just go and pee in that sink.
Oh, pee in the drain. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
My parents almost busted me once, actually. I was peeing in that sink, and I heard them coming down the stairs, and I was like, oh, man. So I pinched it off, and I started walking the other way, and then I ran in. I thought they were coming to the, you know, the messy side of the basement, but they were walking through the furnished side, and I was like, oh, I'll miss them by walking through the furnished side, and then I saw them, and I jumped, and I was like, oh, God, and then, like, a little bit of pee flew out of my penis, but it hit... It struck the back of the TV, which was on.
Oh, no.
And then all of a sudden, it just shorted out the TV.
You're kidding me right now.
I swear to God, I haven't thought about this in years. So I didn't even, they didn't even like notice that my penis was out. Like, all they just saw the TV short out and like smoke. And they're like, what the hell happened to that? I'm like, that's crazy. What happened to the TV? And I knew exactly what happened. I just peed on it a little bit.
And then did you draw a door on the wall and run out?
And so then they're looking at the TV. So then I quickly put myself away.
What a distraction.
Crazy, right?
You're like a superhero.
And I was like, I was just scared. I didn't know you guys were there. And then all of a sudden the TV shorted out. I was freaked out.
You yelled at it.
I'm like, wow. I did like that.
You pissed the short of the TV.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Your kid, there's so many things your kid is going to be like embarrassed. And it's like, you're like, you don't even know.
I think about that.
Yeah.
I even just think about the fact that so much of like what we do is documented now and podcasts, and my son will be able to
go back and listen
if he's listening to this right now.
Dad. Yeah.
You know, and that's strange. It's like time traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's mortified.
Do you think
I'm talking to his like teenage, my son, adult, my son, maybe even his kids, my grandkids, if I know them
or
don't know them.
Your great-grandfather used to talk into a microphone for money.
That's right. We had microphones in my day.
And it wasn't implanted in your earlobe.
Televisions weren't urine-proof in my day.
Oh, all you damn kids pee on the TVs all day.
Pee it on the TV. Go outside and get some sun.
Go. Which, I'm looking at your list.
Oh,
number
yeah.
Number four is the sun.
Yeah, I don't like the sun.
Before we get into that, we got to tell everybody this podcast is sponsored by Brondell, the bidet company.
Well,
wait. I was trying to get you to use it.
I was so bummed out. All I had to do was pee.
Oh, I wanted you to poop on it so bad, man. I'm trying to get a guest to go just so they can experience it. Because the toilet that I have is from like 1958. Like, it still has the date on it. It's from like 1958.
That toilet is from 1958?
Yeah, it's wow. like 1958. Yeah.
I started talking like it was 1958 when he said that.
I think, say it, it's a soul.
That thing is low to the ground.
I know, it's really
good. That is an old lady. But yeah, because you get your knees better, up,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. You don't need to buy a squatty potty because yeah. I got a low
You're
profile.
You're basically squatting, yeah.
Yeah. And then I have this high-end bidet seat cover on it. It's funny because we were just talking about this in a different context, but it is like an old woman getting a fucking tit job in my toilet because I have this
getting a tit job in your toilet,
like an old lady getting a tit job. You know,
like what Armenian doctor is giving tit jobs out of a toilet?
I give you good price, buddy. I give you good price.
Get in the toilet now. Let's get this show on road.
I don't see why it's necessary. Get in the toilet.
Come on. We gotta have turnover. Get in the toilet.
Grandma feels sexy again. Just do it. I'll flush. But it's real great.
What do you mean, though, by the tit job thing? Real quick.
Because I have this high-tech thing on this old-ass toilet.
Oh,
this
I gotcha.
Fucking high-end, like, beautiful right. remote control.
So in this analogy, old women are old toilets. and their new tits are a fancy bidet.
That's right.
I get it?
That's right.
You and my grandfather see women the exact same.
Couple of old toilets.
It just reminded me because we talked about like old ladies old toilet. Tit jobs, and it doesn't make any sense.
I've been out drinking with guys who've referred to women's rear ends as toilets. Like, oh, she's got a big toilet. Which I've never known. Like,
to flush that one,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, does it mean like her butt itself is the toilet, or is it like, well, clearly she must have a huge toilet at home,
right?
Because
to accommodate
of this,
that butt.
To be able to get in there.
But I always thought that was hilarious.
That is very funny.
You know, just I
you
love
could
that.
Have a you could have a big butt, but you don't need a large toilet to accommodate it. And like the size
I
of your butt
not.
Doesn't mean you have huge shits.
Also, if your butt is,
I guess, just the sitting the circumference of you need a large seat on your toilet.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's like trying to rest a basketball on a tack. You know what I mean? It's like really hard.
Thank you.
On the head of a pin.
When I was living in New York right out of school, right out of college, I lived with two guys I went to school with, and then up the hill, two other guys we went to school with lived there. And they had like a chair, like a... I don't know what kind of chair it was, but it was like
mid-century oak. What are we talking?
It was like a cheap wooden chair with arm handles, and then like a tall back with like two pointy things on the back. Almost looked like a throne type
yeah.
of thing,
right?
And but the seat was like that, you know, not knit.
Oh, like wicker,
like a wicker seat.
Yeah,
which,
okay.
You know, you could put a
we
hole through.
We fucked with those in Florida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the seat broke, and then they just pulled that part of the seat off. So then it was just the frame with no seat.
With
and
a big hole in the middle.
As a joke, not even the hole, just nothing, no seat at all in the middle.
Oh.
So as a joke, I put it on their toilet. So like, you know, you walk in and it's like... And
sitting on the throne.
As a goof, as a like, you know, fuck you, this is hilarious. They loved it.
Oh really?
Like they left it because then you had armrests while you were sitting on the toilet, and it was
wow.
And so then I tried it, and they were right. I was right. I didn't even know it.
Armrests on a toilet.
Armrests on the it was like
you hear that, Brondell?
Changed everything. So there you go.
That's the only way. That's the other upgrade. Brian thinks with the upgrade for this is it powders your balls for you.
In your asshole. If it just did a light dusting of like cornstarch or baby powder, because it has a dryer. So it blows air on you, dries you off. And if it just could like dust me like, you know, you do for fingerprints, like if I just could get a light dusting, that'd be perfect because it's hot out here and my shit rubs.
You know, the other thing was with the chair on the toilet was that you could lean back.
I'll get that relaxation.
Yeah, but it's like I'm like leaning against the toilet seat. And it was way more comfortable. I really changed my friends' lives.
And I think, listen, we'll end Brondell at this. First of all, get the dusting, get the armrests, take care of that. Secondly, if you guys want any products from Brondell, you get 20% off if you put promo code no sir, NOSIR, no sir.
20% off.
That's right.
20% off.
Not 10, not 11, and not 12.
And we get a tiny bit of money on the back end if they buy something. So that's
on
nice.
The back end.
Yeah, guys. On
that freshly cleaned.
That's right. Your back end. Your Brondell shoots money out of it.
Well, nice. you got a check to wipe with something.
Yeah. I mean, we're so loaded off this podcast, we're wiping with hundreds. I love it. Yep, that's why we're here. So, Matthew McCarthy.
That's me, Manny McPatty.
So back to you don't like the sun?
No.
Is it because you're pale?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a big problem my whole life. Even
I thought maybe the sun was a snitch or something and ratted you out at some point.
Could you imagine? No, man. I need to be better about putting on sunblock every day because I can't fuck around, especially out here in LA.
It's brutal.
Man.
Where did you grow up?
Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's cloudy.
It's sunny, it's cloudy. Well. But then that's the other thing. It's like the UV light still comes through the clouds.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is the overcast you burnt more than sunny. Yeah.
Really?
Because you're not aware of it at all.
Oh, you take you no precautions. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not stronger.
Not even just precautions, but it's just you don't feel it as much either.
That's it.
Right.
And then you'll just end up burnt completely unaware
it's
of
like
it.
It's like how people dehydrate in like winter activities a lot because they just don't think they need water as much.
They're surrounded by snow. They're like, there's no way I'm not getting any.
Surely like I'm hydrated.
Yeah.
Is your kid a redhead as well?
He's blonde, but he's very fair-skinned like me.
Yeah. So you're probably spending hours lathering him up and not doing yourself.
Yeah, like, well, we put sunblock on him before school, you know, preschool.
God bless you. I was a preschool teacher, and so many kids would be dropped off with just no sunscreen at all, and I'd have to lather them all up, and I hated that because I'd get my hands all greasy, and I'd have to touch all their face. I'd have to wipe them down first because they're always snotty.
Let me ask you this, because now this is something we've run into now.
Yeah,
how good were your students at wiping their own ass?
It was about, so at the 2 years, 9 months is the earliest you can get into our school.
Okay,
and the 2 years, 9 months kids were awful, but we encouraged them to do it themselves. But every now and then I'd have to go in there and put on the gloves and do some secondary wiping.
So I feel like the
like when you can still smell them, you're like, all right, you probably can do a
Rondell
good job.
Should make preschool.
The preschool bidets.
Well, here's the thing.
Baby bidet.
It's baby day.
But yeah, though they're not very good at wiping. And the thing is, though, a lot of times they won't tell you either. You'll catch them itching.
They told my wife that he's not that great at wiping his ass. And I was like, well, yeah, that's because we haven't shown him how to wipe his ass.
Right.
And so then, you know, it's a good thing that neither of us are in it at the same time. Meaning my wife went straight to, I don't know if this is the right school for him. To me,
really?
Like, well, we overreact. We're overreacting to my house. Sure. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe we should teach him how to wipe his butt first and then switching schools.
This is what I said to her.
The right school. That's such a funny reaction.
She hadn't had anything to eat yet. You know how it goes.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah. I mean, we'll have fights and, you know, one of us, our reaction will be, you know, like, all right, well, I'll just move out. You know, this is perfectly reasonable. But I said to her, I was like, he can wipe his nose. He can wipe his ass. We've just never even broached it. I just needed him to put the stuff in the toilet.
Then
we can deal with that.
Right.
But it got me thinking. I was like, oh, I was terrible at it when I was a kid.
Yep.
I had, you know, I ruined underwear.
Mm-hmm, me too.
You know, I wet the bed until I was well into being 7 in second grade.
I was going to say, there are so many comedians that were bedwetters.
Yeah. I don't know. What is that?
I don't know what the connection is. I'm not a fucking psychologist, but... I never done the research, but it's just an observation.
I wasn't good at wiping my ass, honest to God, until I went to college. And I was like, like, it wasn't until I was in college. I remember specifically standing in the shower in the dorms and thinking to myself, oh, I should probably wash my butt.
Yeah.
Like,
that's when it occurred to you?
My ass stinks. Mm. Yeah.
Dude, whenever I stay in a hotel, I dedicate one of those little square ones to exclusively my ass. And
sure.
And I, if that's one of the things I'm going to
do. Oh, the washcloth?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm rich, I'm going to have an endless stream. I'd use once and destroy.
See, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What? Are you making a podcast? We are. Hello. Hi. It's Maria Bamford, everybody.
Do you want to say hello on the microphone? Our podcast just got heckled by one of the greatest living comedians.
That really scared the shit out of me. Like, that really fucking made me nervous. Because I was like, I'm pretty sure I heard the word podcast, but it wasn't from either of you. And I don't think I said it.
But the wiping your ass thing, the kids are not very good at it. And you know what's funny? I was doing a show at the Improv, and Joe Coy went up before me. And Joe Coy was doing a bit about how he found out his son's like 15 or 16. Here he did it on TV, so not ruining anything. Mm. But he was like, how his son...
Not ruining this kid's life.
Yeah. The kid was itching his ass or whatever, and he was just talking about how stupid his kid is, and he's like, he doesn't even know how to wipe his ass. And I went up after him, and I was like, Joe, if your kid is 15 and doesn't know how to wipe his ass, that's a bad dad, not a bad dad.
Right. That's on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're supposed to teach
him. Yeah, they're the one that's supposed to give him that lesson.
Yeah.
Because you know what was, I used to just, like, wads, like, just a big, like, a handful, like, a wad of toilet paper.
Too much toilet paper, not enough cleaning.
Right. I would do that. Now I lay it down the length of my arm from my elbow to my hand.
You know, I never...
Double it.
I know that everybody's got a weird, like, little method. I know. I it's so different for everyone. But anyways, it's supposed to be more sanitary when you fold versus when you bunch.
Joey Diaz showers after every shit he takes.
That's excessive.
Yeah, and you know he's a frequent shitter.
Did you ever see that show, OCD or Obsessed? It was called Obsessed. It was
didn't see it.
It was like a sister show of... like
hoarders or something.
Yeah. The first one, they blew their load.
My Strange
really?
Addiction.
Yeah, they peaked. They it's like save this woman.
Yeah.
Save it for sweeps, you idiot.
This woman would not just shower after every shit. She would wash her butthole with a toothbrush. And like,
oh my god, how was it not raw?
It did. Like she used to like clean it until like she broke the skin. She would be in the shower for hours.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. How do you top it? Now you're supposed to do episode 2?
Yeah.
About some kid who eats chalk or whatever?
I don't even know how we do the rest of the podcast after you
said
that. I know,
you're right. That's my fault.
I mean, I know people, and I myself am guilty of it. Sometimes I'll wipe too much. You wipe until you bleed, you know, just because I'm so paranoid about having a dirty butt.
I'm already bleeding already before I wipe.
Well, it's because you dry it out.
Yeah, you dry it out. But I mean, and that's what the bidet helps, you know?
I bet.
Yeah, huge help.
Your kid
help.
Needs to listen to this. Just teach him, just show him this section, and then he'll get it. He'll figure it out.
Let's hope so.
How old is he? 2 years, 9 months? Is he?
He'll be 3 at the beginning of November. So he's got 4 months.
So he got
to
it
go.
A little early.
Too. Yeah, well, this is the summer because it's as long
getting
as
getting him to learn how to do it.
Yeah. Right, so he's in there with like 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds.
Right, that's good. Yeah. The kids who did that at my school, because I always taught the summer program. The kids who were really young who did that like get used to it thing always
they learned faster.
They had a better time transitioning.
And it's going to be this year they're starting dual immersion. So it's like he's going to start learning Spanish.
Oh, that's great.
I know.
That's
like,
so great.
By 3, he's already like, I got to get a Rosetta Stone because I can't be having him and his friends making fun of me
at
my house.
He's going to be so fluent that
he's right. having a little wakey.
Right.
Maricong, papa.
And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Is that fucked up? You guys making fun of me?
Is that shrimp? You talking about shrimp?
You guys making fun of my huge dick? Enough.
Stop talking about my six pack.
Stop making fun of my huge dong.
Dude, the kid's going to be so fluent that whoever teaches him, he's going to have that regional accent. Like, he's going to sound like he's from whatever, southern Guatemala.
I never thought of that. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, he's going to learn very, very
well. Or if it's like proper Castilian Spanish, he's going to have that Latin lisp. Yeah.
Hello, I am from España.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. Papa. Come here, Papa.
Come here, Papa.
We need to free the Barcelonians, the Catalans. Let them have their own country.
Country.
He's getting into the Catalonian independent movement now.
So, I'm glad we've created such a world for yours.
So, yeah, so I got a real problem with the son.
One son?
Just the one.
Just the one son.
Yeah, we don't know if we're going to have more. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, especially with, I don't know what your wife does, but
it's got nothing to do with him. It's just us. Like we, like I said, like we overreact.
Right.
You know,
I was going to say one thing. If I can give you some advice,
I would love it.
With the overreacting parents, if your kid comes home and tells you nobody will play with him or they're being mean to him, mm-hmm. 90% of the time, that's not true. Especially if the first time he says it to you, you get that reaction that he wants. So,
oh, interesting.
So then he knows he can get.
Parents never listen to the teacher, and the kid who comes home and says that is usually a leader.
Here's what happened.
I did 6 years. I did that job.
Yesterday, he got in the car, and my wife picked him up, and she like called me and said he said that he like hit a kid. And I was like,
"Oh, that's probably true."
I was like, "Yeah,
what they're copping up to that they did themselves is usually true."
And she was like all upset about it, and like, you know, I was like, "Well, you know," and then like they're FaceTiming with me, so he's in the back seat, and I'm like, "What happened, buddy? You hit someone?" He's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Were you just playing, or did you get upset?" And he goes, "Got upset." And then the next words out of his mouth are, "I'm a ghost." So then that really put both of us at ease.
Yeah.
But she called the teacher and she was like, he said that he hit someone. She's like, oh yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, that's it's tough when it's your first kid. Like your teacher's.
Right. I want to do everything right.
Yep.
I want to do everything perfect.
Yeah. Just got to dial it back a notch. And if the teachers are cool, then trust them. Because I've gotten into so many battles where it's like, I have no agenda to lie to you about your kid.
Right.
I would never do that. I have no interest in that. I don't even know your kid's alive when I leave here. Like, I'm not building a case. Like, when I come back, I give it 100%. But when I leave, they could all drown. I don't know. Well, no, I don't. Not that. That was a little over the top.
That was.
I was trying to say.
You didn't say you didn't care. You said, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I know. I meant disappear, but I said drown because we're talking about.
A form of disappearing. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else don't you like?
I don't know.
We can go through it numerically. You got Donald Trump.
I don't
on the
care.
Top.
Yeah. Does everybody do him?
It's been a minute, actually, and I bet you're really? Your own thing. Because is it coming from like how he makes redheads look bad?
Is he a redhead?
I don't know what his head is.
I know. I just don't.
Is he blonde? What is that?
Seems like it's blonde, I guess.
Sometimes it's white.
A mess.
Have you ever seen pictures where it just looks completely white and then the next time it looks blonde again and you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, it's weird.
There's definitely color being put in, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing natural about him or his. I just don't like him. Yeah. I mean, beyond.
You like him before he was the president? You didn't like him?
No. No.
Liked him before he
but
was
he hosted
no,
all those early like WrestleManias.
I know, but even then I was like, this guy is a blowhard. Even like as a kid, I was like, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
for real. Mm-hmm. Like even like, because like Mania 4 and 5 were at the Trump.
Yeah.
Or at the Taj Mahal or
New
whatever.
Jersey, right?
Yeah, yeah. Atlantic City.
The failed Taj Mahal.
How do you fuck up a casino?
I know. That's like, pretty bad.
Yeah, seriously.
That's like when you drive by like a McDonald's that's like closed. You're like, how did you fuck that up?
It's foolproof.
It's like, foolproof. How do you do
what
that?
What did you do? What did you do?
Yeah, you did this. You did something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Just so you guys know, the reason why I brought up the WrestleMania is Matt has a wrestling podcast called
We Watch Wrestling,
and it's
new episodes every Wednesday.
Yeah, guys, check it out. That's why I went.
We Watch Wrestling podcast.com. Oh yeah, I mean, even beyond just his shitty policies and his, you know, the racism and the misogyny, mm-hmm. and the you know, the sexual assaults and the lies.
Regardless of all that.
All that. Take all that out of the equation.
Which a lot, about 70 million people did.
Right. Yeah. Right? Yeah. The Russians and the lies and the tweeting.
North Korea.
And the Koreans and the Mexicans and the Canadians and the Germans and the take all that out of the equation.
Take the entire country.
Take it all off the table. I just don't like him. Like, I keep saying, every so often I say it out loud and I'm like, I just can't believe Donald Trump is president. Like, yeah. Beyond, like, oh, you wanted Hillary, you wanted that. I'm like, no, I didn't even, it was like, you don't like Republican. No, it's just not, it's all of that out of the equation. Him in and of itself.
Human. Specifically.
Specifically, he. Yeah. I cannot believe it. Like, he's just been this fucking, like, weird pseudo celebrity, like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a rich guy, I've been rich, I'm so rich, and then I'm like, but you're always broke.
Yeah.
Like, all banks are bankruptcy 7 times,
right? He's constantly bankrupt and like getting divorced and like, I'm just like, you're a fucking clown shoe.
Yeah,
he really is.
He's just, it's just beyond me,
dude. Talk about failing uphill.
Oh my God! Right?
Yeah. Failing.
Thanks, Dad. Uphill.
Yeah. He like did way more than his dad ever did. You know,
and his dad bailed him out out of a lot of times he went bankrupt.
Like that casino, his dad mm-hmm. was the one who.
Yeah.
I guess his dad just didn't want to be in the public eye. That's his dad probably would have been better at that too.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like
he had a Donald's board game. Like, who the fuck do you think you
he
are?
He did a board game. What was it called?
It was like It was either like Trump the board game or the Art of the Deal the board game.
Yeah,
or
he had stakes in a university.
I know.
Our president had stakes.
That stupid TV show.
If
I only watched it the one season, The Celebrity Apprentice, with whatever one
I never
Joan Rivers
it.
Was on.
Oh yeah. I never watched it, but I love Joan Rivers.
Yeah, right.
It's the best. I hate how comics don't talk about her enough. Like when they're talking about the greats. Like I know. She should be.
Sleep on Joan. I do it all the time. I sleep on Joan. She's great. I mean, she's great, but she wasn't my thing.
She's so mean in every way that I love.
Yeah. But see, I always liked Phyllis better. She was always my go-to gal.
Well, Phyllis is better.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Joan Rivers is, and she'd be the first to admit it, is she never wanted to be a comedian. She wanted to be an actress, and mm-hmm. then it just worked out that she was a comedian.
Yeah.
But you watch that Did you watch the documentary on her?
Mm-hmm.
And that file cabinet of jokes? Yeah. Like, for somebody who didn't want to be a comedian, she had a wall full of jokes.
Yeah, but she got that from Phyllis. That was Phyllis's thing. She, like, in I Am Comic, Phyllis says the same thing. She has an entire...
It doesn't matter. She still had to write all those jokes.
Yeah, for sure. And it was like they were all categorized under categories and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure they were buddies. They weren't like competing or anything like that. Because there also wasn't a lot of spots for chicks anyways. But
she definitely had a lot of writers over the years.
Sure.
A lot of writers.
But man, if you watch... like,
and none of them like her.
Yeah.
So that may compound why comedians aren't like...
Yeah. There's a lot of comics like I love David Cross. I'm not interested in meeting him at all. I assume he's a prick. But and I assumed Joan Rivers was a prick. But I love both of them a lot. Mm-hmm. And also, if you watch her off the cuff in her mid-70s, like mm-hmm. if somebody heckles her, in her mid-70s, she was destroying people. And she was, like, I don't get how she didn't get in with all the, like, people who love, like, that whole Colin Quinn, Patrice O'Neill, New York world.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they don't love her. And Pat Cooper is another one. Those are my two, like...
Oh, Pat Cooper. Jesus.
I love those two so much. Nobody talks about them. I don't know. Whatever. I'm talking about them now.
I just don't... I
did she win that year of Apprentice?
I think she did. Yeah.
She's a ruthless bastard too.
It was like her and some professional poker player. And that was like, she like told the woman off. It was like after like her daughter got fired. Melissa Rivers got fired from the show, right?
That's so funny to be like, I'm only doing the show if my kid can do it too.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so then she storms out and she's all bent out of shape. And then Joan's pissed off too. And then whoever Annie was, she's like, you know, professional poker player. And then Joan just destroys her on the way out the door. Cause like, oh, she's like, oh, you fire my daughter, I'm walking out too. But then she's still on the show and still wins it. But she goes, Annie, you're a poker player. A poker player. Your money has blood on it. I've been dealing with your kind for decades in Las Vegas. But just the way she said it,
cuts right to the bone.
Oh, she's like, you're a poker player. Yeah, yeah.
If you have the right tone, you can make anything feel stupid.
Right. You
know? You're a good father.
Yeah. Oh, you Ooh. Love your kid.
Oh, yes, you do.
Oh, you
Who's dad of the
him.
Year?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, so Joan Rivers cool, Donald Trump bad, although they're kind of
the side of
the same coin.
He's entertaining. He's entertaining, but it's just like the stakes are so high now. Like people's lives are right. at stake. Mm-hmm. It's just insane.
Yeah.
Speaking of steaks, DonaldTrump.com.
Yep.
Get some steaks.
If you were to tell me, hey, one president used to sling steaks, I would say Lyndon B. Johnson right away.
LBJ.
LBJ sure. seems like a steak slinger.
Yeah, he looks like a steak slinger.
And he had a ranch in Texas. Mm-hmm. But turns
you ever
out
listen to the tape recording?
Yeah. Better like Ross Perot, even though he didn't make it. I think Ross Perot right. would sling steaks.
The bunghole tapes you're talking about?
Yeah.
And his nuts.
Did you ever listen to those?
What?
He's like on the phone with his tailor and he's like complaining about the cut of the pants. Apparently he had a huge crank.
Yeah.
And he's like,
yeah.
He's like, you know, he's like, you got to take it out on the inseam because it's
Who,
like,
Lyndon B. Johnson?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And he was a riot. He talked like a fucking sailor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was just like, he's like, because they fucking come up on your goddamn bunghole and then yeah, you got to. Yeah, yeah.
He's a nut, dude. He used to give orders to his assistants from the toilet. He would shit with the door open and bark right. orders. Yeah, he was
it's a good
nut,
place to think.
He's the one who started all the taping. Like Nixon just inherited all that equipment.
Oh.
Johnson taped everything to protect himself because he was also a paranoid bastard, just like Nixon.
Yeah, right.
And man, that's the one thing I'm like. When people are like, I can't believe Donald Trump said this. I can't believe he said that. I'm like, have you listened to the Nixon tapes or the Johnson tapes? They're all insane.
Yeah, no, yeah. But nobody.
They're
can.
All insane.
Nobody normal becomes the president.
That Nixon
That's
quote.
That's not a normal thing to want to do.
Yeah.
Nixon's like, I won't even shake somebody's hand from San Francisco.
Yeah, like, when he's talking about Bohemian Grove.
Yeah,
and
yeah, and the faggy part. He's yeah. like, every town has a faggy part, but the whole town is San Francisco.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah, yep.
Mr. President, you're in the intercom's on.
And he's like talking about Bohemian Grove. He's like, it's the most faggoty ass yeah. stuff you've ever seen. Or you wouldn't believe what they do up there. And he's like, damn, dude.
And he's self-taping to protect himself.
Right.
While saying this in
Because that wouldn't have been a scandal back then. People be
right.
like,
right. He's like, at least they know that I'm a straight shooter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not one of those. It's incredible.
What's number two on this list here?
Roman Reigns.
Oh, I watched a match. I'm not very up to date with current wrestling, but I have watched one of his matches and I found him to be a blank piece of paper.
He is. See,
very boring.
This is like him as a person, like Donald Trump as a person, I just don't like. Roman yeah. Reigns as a person, I don't have a problem with.
Yeah.
I don't even have a problem with him as a wrestler. It's just the position they put him in the company where they are insisting. No, he's
the guy.
He's the guy. He's your
superhero.
But
don't they always do that? Didn't they do that with like Kurt Angle? And didn't they do that with John Cena? And then didn't they do like they always just pick a guy that's like he's going to be the dude for
definitely.
Everybody.
And but if it doesn't work,
move on
to the next guy that they're like, no, this is the anointed mm-hmm. one. You know,
yeah.
Like there was some. There's just examples throughout history in wrestling where it's like, you know. Either the company, other companies of just like, why are you pushing this one particular guy when the people clearly like this other guy? And it's just.
What would be an older example?
They really tried to get Lex Luger for him to be the guy, yeah. for him yeah. to be the next Hulk Hogan. But then the fans rejected it and they're like, no, we like Bret Hart. So then Vince was like, well, goddamn, give him Bret Hart.
That whole Luger.
And Bret go out there.
That whole Luger Elizabeth thing went down in the town I went to high school in.
Shut up.
Duluth, Georgia.
Oh my God. Do you know that story?
Mm-mm.
First of all, like say like random dates, right? June 1st.
Sure.
Is a Sunday, let's say. On June 1st, the cops came to Lex Luger's house on a domestic call.
Mm-hmm.
Then on June 14th, mm-hmm. they come because now the woman's dead from Oxycontin and vodka.
Oh my God.
And then they go through his house and he's got all sorts of prescription drugs that aren't prescribed to him.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Bad, oh, bad.
That's real bad.
No shit. He's in bad shape now too.
Is he not in jail?
He's not in jail.
How would he be in good shape? He had a house full of prescription drugs and a dead woman.
Like right. So now he's off the roids. His like he's like skin and bones. He's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Rough.
He's in a wheelchair?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, those 80s wrestlers are though they don't live long.
Bad scene. And then the 90s it was even worse because of the I forget what year it happened, but if you watch older stuff, there's so much bounce to the ring and there was so much give to it. And then at some point, some TV person said to Vince and got in his ear and was just like, this looks like shit on TV. You need to have less give in the ring. He's like, God damn, you're right. It's a fucking TV show. We need to. So then there was no give to it. And then they
just fallen on a floor.
They said it was like concrete.
Ugh.
And then you really up the, because the guys were always getting hurt. It was always like a for brutal sure, business. Yeah. But now you've got guys taking like 30 somas at once because they're in so much fucking pain.
Jesus Christ.
And then you get hooked to it and then it's, you know, becomes.
That's what they say about the NFL's fucking up. They're saying that they have a, because they say most of CTE, they really believe it's the ground. It's the head to ground more than the actual hits.
Probably.
And they're saying that there is the technology to soften the field to make it a little easier on them. And they're not doing it for whatever reason. I don't know what the reason is other than money.
It will be interesting to see what happens to all combat sports in the years to come.
It's crazy to me that there's like a whole world trying to shut the NFL down while UFC ascends to the top.
Well, there's still, because there's still always going to be that gladiator shit where people still want to watch conflict.
But I mean, if their whole MO for shutting down the football is head injuries,
but it's it's not really.
What is it then?
They're not really going to shut it down. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, if people stop letting their kids play, there will be nobody to play. You know what I mean?
They don't need that many people to keep the NFL going.
Yeah, they do, because you got to think those are like the top 3% of thousands and thousands of people. I mean, the NFL would suck if it was just whoever was allowed to play,
right,
and not the elite. But yeah. All I'm saying is if the CTE thing is such a big deal to people, then why is UFC getting so big? Why don't they care about UFC? Because UFC has to be worse than football.
Right, because like the whole point of that, if you can, is to knock the other guy out.
And they let you punch the shit out of the person after they're on the ground
It's pretty gross.
That part, that always makes me sick a little bit, is when you see somebody's knocked out and they're still fucking hammering their head.
Yeah. Then it really does look like a hate crime. It does. Once you've already achieved your goal and then it's excessive, it's like Jesus.
Yeah,
that's why pro wrestling may be in the best position, because they are in control of everything,
right?
So it's like, if we want a less violent, brutal spectator sport to watch, you still
can manipulate that.
Exactly. You can literally do anything you want,
right?
You know, because I remember for a little while they were trying to do it like Monday Night Raw. All of it across the board now is PG. You know, it's supposed to be
It's for everybody.
For everybody.
It's not the Attitude Era.
They did for one season attempt a Saturday morning G-rated wrestling show, which it was like, well, how the hell are you going to do that? So then the goal was to have moves in the ring that could not be recreated at home, you know? So like, but like things like nothing to the head, no punches, no, you know, pick. So then it became my favorite show, because then it was so interesting, because once you have parameters, it's like, all right, well, how do you exist in this?
Right.
You know,
it's like doing a clean set.
Yeah. It forces a certain level of creativity. So then it became much, they were just fascinating and hilarious matches of like, you know, different, telling a story in a different way or a totally different story altogether. I loved it. Saturday Morning Slam.
Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
When was this? What year?
This was probably in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it just didn't take off?
Yeah, it was just, it just didn't take off.
Saturday Morning Slam.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Modern country music. Oh, I can go with you on this one, because there's a lot of new modern country people I like that yeah. are like, I think there's a good underground world of country right now.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't like the, and believe me, I have not taken the time to explore it, mm-hmm. but it's like so much of the shit just sounds exactly the same.
It's all the same song.
All that's, it's all that CMT shit.
Right, yeah.
It's, yeah, this...
Fast food country.
Is, it's the mumble rap of the country it's music an, world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you just nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate how people, yeah. people get that. Like, it's just like people are regurgitating to them. They're like, I want to hear about exactly what I did today. And right. I don't get that at all. Like, no, like, it's the most, I will not step out of my perspective kind of music. It's the least challenging music. It's just like, got in my truck, I got my own hand. It's like, that's what I did this morning.
See, that's nine songs. I don't even know which one
I
it
just
is.
Wrote
you know
a
what I
hit
mean?
Fucking song.
Yeah, I hate that. And it's all odd.
Maybe I'm in the wrong business. Maybe I should just write that shit. Well,
head to Nashville.
Zing down hill, there's a man on hill. Zing on my brown on bio.
There you go. That's it.
Like, just down home, I got attitude. Like, don't you fuck with me? I'm sing out, but I didn't see
it now. It's like sassy. It's, that's what it is.
There
it's
is
like,
some there's sass. Sass to it.
There's a. It's like sassy. What I did today. It's like a female open right. micer. Yeah.
You know what? If I can make a specific example, there's that one where she's like, it took a Louisville Slugger to his car. Yeah. What was that song?
That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
If not like, six.
Think oh, again you when cheat. You cheat. Yeah. Yeah. That, I'm just
I
like.
Took a Louisville Slugger. Yeah.
To
yeah.
both headlights.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Both headlights and a bang dong sand and I took a fried chicken and I bashed it on his head.
I think I would have liked the song more if that was the lyrics.
I'm in the wrong business. I'm in the wrong business. Michael O'Donohue, the first head writer of SNL, he went into country songwriting. He wrote a Dolly Parton song.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was just like, fuck it.
And he's like, fuck it, I'm doing this.
Yeah. And have you seen SNL recently? I think he made the right
choice. He made the right call.
Yeah, they're all like, it's like a little bit of a rap rhythm.
Yeah.
So they're like, it's kind of like yeah. rap without all that scariness.
But that being said, like, I love, like, Dwight Yoakam.
I love Dwight Yoakam.
He just put out a new single. I'm like, this is the best.
Oh, really?
He's so fucking cool.
I know.
You see him in a movie and you're like, oh my God, this guy's.
Did
like,
you see Logan
creep.
Lucky? He played no. the owner of a prison.
Really?
And it was like, we don't have fires here at Monroe.
That's like
we
the perfect role for him.
We don't have riots here at Monroe. We don't have riots here at Monroe. He was such a badass.
Have you seen him live?
Gotta go.
So, yeah, I would love to.
Glennis loves him.
He wears skin-tight jeans.
No
and then
way.
Whenever there's an instrumental part, he turns around and shakes his booty at the crowd. He shakes his ass at the crowd and holds the acoustic guitar way up high.
Woo!
And it is the coolest fucking thing.
Give me the shimmy.
Yeah, and you see all these, like, 50-year-old ladies drinking sangria just going,
I love it.
It's so cool. I used to see him every year because he would do the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass when I lived in the Bay Area, and that's a free festival.
Shit.
And he would play every year, and I would always go sit front row for Dwight Yoakam. Him, yeah, he was the best performer.
Yeah.
And he would always go up after Ralph Stanley. So it would be like back-to-back, like badass country people.
He's got the coolest hat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he like tried in Nashville, didn't make it, and then came out to L.A. and played with all the punk bands at the Whiskey. So he's playing that exact kind of music to the punk crowd. So
it
like,
just goes to show. It's like, if it's good, it's good.
It's good. Yeah, for sure. Oh, I love Dwight Yoakam. And so there's a lot of new country guys
I like
who
that
are really
Sturgill
good.
Sturgill Simpson is great. Have you listened to him?
I think I saw him at Bonnaroo, actually.
Yeah, he was just at Bonnaroo. Yeah.
Were you at
What's the turtle one? No, this was like two summers ago.
Yeah, he probably was.
Trampled by Turtles?
Yeah, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Maybe that's two different groups.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Trampled by Turtles. Wait, that. Anyway, yeah, Sturgill's really good. This guy Luke Bell. I mean, I could go on. Paul Kaufman. There's a whole good country world that's rejecting all that shit.
But but mainstream.
Good.
Mainstream country is just as bad as mainstream pop. It's really horrible.
This transitions to something I'm eager to get into on your list, which is you have Robbie Robertson on there, who's the guitar player and main songwriter for the band, which is me and
the band.
Matt's.
The band.
I love the band.
Those are both of our favorite. What's your favorite album by the band?
Maybe Big Pink.
I'm Stage Fright.
Yeah, that's a good record.
That's my favorite record of all time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's my number one favorite record.
Wow.
Yeah, so why don't you like Robbie Robertson? I know why I don't like him. He's a pretentious cock.
He's a fucking prick.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I love The Last Waltz, but it's like you watch it and you're like, oh, nobody else was in the band but you.
Yeah.
You know, like Garth Hudson is in it for about 3 seconds.
And he's a genius.
He's a fucking, like, that's, like, they could have just been another group, but yes. Like, the sounds he was making in the background, like he's, what's
the... They make it transcend, like, another level.
But, like, the clava...
Oh, the clavinet.
The clavinet, like, he fucking introduced that into fucking pop records, like, a year or something before Stevie Wonder did it with Superstition. You know, it's like... This guy was on another fucking level and made their music like just eternal. And then you got Levon. It's just the whole process of the songwriting of like Levon being like, well, let me explain America to you, Robbie. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go write a song about that and then get all the royalties from it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then fucking Levon's doing fucking shows in his barn.
Yeah.
Because he's got fucking cancer. I mean, it's just like.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Fuck you, Robbie. There's a, like they got back together in the 80s and didn't invite Robbie.
He's like Keaton Ivory Wayans, dude. It's like your brothers are where all the talent's at, but you're getting all the money.
That's so funny.
Yeah, he, dude, the band drives me crazy because like Garth Hudson specifically, that song, Chest Pain, Chest off of,
right.
That's like one of, that like is before Kraftwerk. And it sounds like the beginnings of electronic music, the way he plays that keyboard.
It was almost like folk music took... Like the Syd Barrett Floyd did, like the really experimental stuff, and they took it into a genre where it was not at, and kind of they made a lot of really cool new shit that nobody was ever even considering.
So 5/6 of the band is Canadian, and besides everybody but Levon is Canadian, and I used to tour in punk bands a lot, and I was playing a show on Vancouver Island in Victoria, Canada, and I played the band where I was like playing music before we went on with over at the venue, and I put on the band and everybody went nuts, and this girl goes, I didn't know you liked Canadiana. And I was like, what? That's not a word.
Canadiana.
And she's like, yeah, you have Americana. You've heard that, right? And I was like, yeah, that's music. And she's like, she's like, the band is Canadiana. And I'm like, no, the band is American because Levon is American. Right.
They're playing American music. They're playing Memphis music.
They made up, they made up like a new American genre, even though they're not mostly American. But I was like, Canadiana, you're so cute. Canadiana. That's not a real thing. And then, our punk band, it was all like leather studded out people at the show, and I started playing up on Cripple Creek, and they all went nuts, and so our band just covered Cripple Creek to all these fucking crust punks. They were all singing it.
Yeah, I've always, maybe someday, who knows what's in the cards, but I always wanted to get, I don't know why, but I always wanted to get a basset hound and name it Danko.
Nice.
Right?
We stole a manger scene when I was a kid at like at this punk house I was living at, and we took Joseph and we named Joseph Danko.
I love it.
Because we like no. Joseph was Garth. Who was Danko? One of the wise men was Danko. And we wrote Danko on his forehead. And it is a lifelong obsession.
Yeah. Richard Manuel's the man.
Yes. Himself.
Yeah.
In a hotel.
Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just fucking
Danko, Levon, and Garth's still alive, and he was old when the band started.
Yeah, Garth and Robbie are the last ones alive.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
They should square off to the death.
It is. It's like Paul and Ringo.
It really is. Except Ringo, in this case, would have been the real genius behind the Beatles, which he isn't.
That would have been nice.
Ringo, we should have a tag team match: Ringo and Paul versus Garth and Robbie.
I love it.
Oh man, I wish they still had that claymation celebrity death match. Yeah. Yes.
We could, but then Garth turns on Robbie and waffles him.
Yeah. And then they do a show of all Beatles songs.
I saw Levon a couple times in New York years ago.
When he was doing like Dirt Farm and stuff.
Yeah. And at one point, it was Willie Nelson. Was it Willie Nelson and it was Willie Nelson and Levon on the same card. But then at one point Garth Hudson came out and started playing.
Wow.
Playing accordion, just wandering around the stage and shit. It was amazing.
That's great. I can't imagine. I don't know how good a podcast listening. I could go on the band forever.
I do. I like that. Well, who knows? Who knows what's true and what's not? Robbie claims that they made amends when Levon was sick on his deathbed. I'd like to hear Levon's version of it. I know.
Too bad we can't. Also, if you listen to his Robbie Robertson on Mark Maron's podcast, he talks about hanging out on reservations in the way that like an old racist cartoon would talk about it. Just like there's just such magical, like a liberal racist from the 50s. Like there's such spiritual, magical people. And it's like, no, they're human beings. And when you say this whole spiritual magic thing, it makes it easier to kill them.
Those are the three.
You know what I mean? Like it dehumanizes them. It makes them something different.
Those are the three classic Hollywood stereotypes.
Yeah.
They're magical, they're savages, they're drunks.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, I just was so annoyed. And he was going on and on about all the weird stuff he saw on the reservation, and it's just like, this isn't true, man.
Well, yeah, that's right. He did that fucking, what was the movie? He did the music for it.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Dances with Wolves.
No, that's the one where like Val Kilmer is like they're investigating a murder on a reservation, and Val Kilmer is the FBI guy. And like, I just remember in the commercial for it, like, he rolls onto the reservation and like the kids hanging out, they're like, oh, check it out, it's the Washington Redskins.
Right.
Type of thing, yes, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I forget what that movie's called. It's a good movie.
I wanted to ask you about being afraid because
I do not like being afraid.
Which like, okay, but the fear encompasses so many things. What are you talking about? Are you talking about like you don't like being startled? Like if somebody's like, gotcha, and then you like jump.
If I'm recording a podcast and somebody screams, you're doing a podcast.
Did that scare you?
Yeah. Not even being startled, just like being in fear, like stopping myself from doing things because I'm afraid, just acting out of from a place of fear. Either
give me an example.
Being angry because I'm afraid, stopping myself from doing things because I'm afraid. Like, here's a good example. I was in a series of commercials like 10 years ago now. It's been about 10 years.
You were in a series of commercials? Like,
yeah.
You were like a Flo from Progressive? Like it was like...
Yeah, it was
company?
Actually... It started the exact same time that Flo did.
Okay.
So Flo's been doing that for 10 years.
Yeah.
It was the summer of 2008. It was the summer... It was during the Summer Olympics. And they ran this one... It was for Verizon Fios. And I was the dumb cable guy. Mm-hmm. And then it was me and the Fios guy. And then it was just supposed to be one spot, and then they just kept bringing us back, and then it turned into a campaign.
Oh, okay.
But whatever, I could get into the whole story of it, but it was literally they played the spot every commercial break during the fucking Olympics. At least in New York,
millions
they certainly
and millions
holy
of people
shit.
Are seeing you.
So it got to the point where like I felt like, you know, people were looking at me on the subway, and like they were.
Yeah, they were just like, wait, where's like, that like, fucking face from?
I wouldn't even have the second foot on the sidewalk walking out of my apartment building, and someone would be like, yo, cable guy, Verizon guy. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it scared the shit out of me. So like, I wouldn't leave my place.
Really?
I just stayed in my apartment. Like,
so
I wasn't.
So you got a touch of a little agoraphobia there. Like, you wouldn't leave at all?
Yeah, I just, my best solution was to isolate, you know,
mm-hmm.
to the point where like, I would finally like, cause I stopped even like, if I got booked on stand-up shows, I would go and do them,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't
so
hanging
you
out
have
at shows
you
anymore.
Have a purpose
yeah,
to leave.
I was mm-hmm. scared to leave the house cause I was just uncomfortable with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to the point where like, I wasn't hanging out at shows anymore. And then I remember more than a couple of times I would like show my face at a show that I was booked on, and someone would be like, oh, are you in town? And I'm like,
I live here.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I thought you moved to LA.
Oh, wow.
Like, they were like, I mean it because they never saw me anymore.
Yeah.
Right. How long did that go on for?
The campaign probably went probably like 2 years, a year and a half, something like that. Like,
wow.
Like it started in the middle of the summer 2008, and then it was probably done by the very beginning of 2010. And then people stopped recognizing me from it by like middle of 2011.
It went away fairly fast.
Yeah, it's funny.
But the campaign was still 2 years. So it was like 2 years of people being like, hey,
yeah,
I know your face.
And then it's still a couple years after that of, you know. But I mean, it's funny now. It's funny now, like how like it feels like nobody. Because it was like it could have been like with fucking Flo.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can't go anywhere.
She can't do anything either. Like, that's the other thing, too, is I feel like if she tries to act in anything else,
yeah,
it's one of those things where people are going to only see her as that one character. Like, sometimes people get those roles where it's like nobody can shake them.
Maybe. You know what it is with her, though, is she is so smart the way that she's played it. It's like, first of all, like the way that character looks.
Right.
She doesn't look like that.
Right.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Like the hair, the makeup. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's doing interesting things in the spots now of like playing other characters and her whole family and stuff. But that all being said, she does improv whenever she wants.
Yeah, she's like a groundling person, right?
Yeah. And she's got a small part on You're the Worst. She plays like his book agent or something. And if you see her on that, you're like, how do I know her? And then you're like, oh, fuck, that's Flo. But it's like so against type.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she like can actually be her. She's in a much better spot than, say, like, you know, the Can You Hear Me Now guy was.
Oh, yeah. They brought him back.
For The Rival.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's too bad to see that level of, I don't know, resentment or something. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I think they wanted him to sign like a whole thing where it's like, you can never do anything ever again, even though the campaign's over. And he's like,
oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's like, nah, fuck you. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I've never seen him and Joe DeRosa in the same room at the same time.
Interesting.
Interesting. You're so stupid.
Have you been watching his workout stuff on Instagram?
Joe?
Yeah.
No, is it hilarious?
Oh my God, it's amazing. From dad bod to rad bod.
I love Joe, dude.
He's the best.
I just am such a big fan of vulnerable, angry, honest, sincere people. I mean, he's like a really...
That's him.
Yeah, he's vulnerable, honest, and a psycho.
Yeah.
I love it. He screws up all the time. He's always hosting Roast Battle and just bombing the whole time. Nobody likes him.
Yeah, I bombed on Roast Battle again. Yeah. I roasted myself. I'm taking the week off. I'm going to go buy an Atari game and a record.
That's a perfect DeRosa.
Love him.
He's the best, dude.
Let's do the gripe of the week.
All right. So we have we get people to submit what's been bothering them this week.
It's the gripe of the week.
It's the gripe of the week. Heather Shaw. Her gripe of the week is random ass Facebook requests from people whose profiles say that they work, quote, at I'm my own boss, or like people who are self-employed, but they work at, quote, I'm my own boss.
Facebook's just a wasteland. Like, you can't look for anything that's not annoying on Facebook.
Yeah, but I feel like it might be triggering something in her that she is upset she's not her own boss.
Oh, good point.
Oh.
That's my concern.
Damn,
what's her name again?
Heather.
Heather, you're good enough. Don't worry. Heather, it's okay. Heather, here's the good news. Whatever it is you want to do, you can go do that. I give you permission.
I mean, she's a comedian, so I feel like she's kind of doing it.
She can't do that. They don't let you do that anymore.
It's hard_bod_pod on Instagram.
Hard_bod_pod.
Hard oh, bod. For the Joe DeRosa.
Yes, for Joe DeRosa.
That's great.
Transformation. From dad bod to rad bod. Dave Yates, who's a friend of the podcast, his gripe of the week is jobs that only exist in Los Angeles. And the example is professional dreadlock services in Los Angeles.
There is a lot of jobs out here where I'm like, that is not a job.
Yeah, there's so much. Just because anybody's like, sure, I'll do that for $50. Like,
You have to make up things because everybody here is trying to do something else. So you need
there's no skill set.
Part time job.
Yeah.
I feel like Dave is upset that he doesn't have dreadlocks. Dave Yates, comedian and deadhead.
Yep.
Yes.
He's my boy. He's my buddy.
Yeah. You're a deadhead, right?
Yes.
Yes.
What was Heather's last name?
Shaw. Heather Shaw.
Heather, let's be friends on Facebook. I'm my own boss. I'll be honest right up front.
Justin is, my car is high enough to get over a parking block, but too low to back away from it.
What are you doing? Are you robbing banks?
Here, I don't know. You read this one.
Justin, you stop drinking during the day.
I know, for real. My car is high enough to get over a parking block, but too low to back away from it without tearing up my bumper.
Yeah, you're not supposed to drive.
Why
over
would
them
you drive
a Hyundai? You're driving over parking blocks with a Hyundai. I was picturing a truck, weren't you?
Yeah.
You gonna put as soon as he said it was high enough to go over, I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Why are you doing that?
You need to start taking Ubers and Lyfts. We're taking away your car keys.
I don't understand what's going on, man. I think that maybe
you're
LA
not supposed
is breaking
to drive
you
over them. Oh, you mean like maybe like, oh, maybe he's talking about just like a speed bump.
A parking block is a thing.
It's like a wheel stop in a parking.
Yeah, that's
spot.
What I think. That's what a parking block is.
That's a parking block, right?
Dude, when I used to.
Because it makes sense if he's talking about a speed hump where it's like it's high enough to go over it. But then when you go over it, it scrapes your bumper. Like when if you bounce, you know what I'm talking about?
How fast
he's
are you
not
going?
Talking about a speed bump. He knows you got to know the word speed bump if you know bumper.
It's a very popular word.
Yeah. He may say speed
I'm just trying
hump.
To get it to it understand.
Speed humps or
speed
something
humps,
as well.
Speed humps, speed bumps. But yeah, a parking block. Like what? Who are you? Who are you like who, fleeing from?
Who do you think you are?
Let me tell you something.
Are you evading the police
if
in a CVS parking lot?
If you end a post with words like without tearing up my bumper, then get a truck.
Get a truck. Or get one of those bidets. What is it?
It's the Swash 1400
yes,
from Brondell.
Brondell. No more tearing up your bumper.
No.
Jahan Sabir says, having the feeling to poop, but poop won't come out.
Oh, I hate that.
Worst. That's a big one right there.
That's
really, you want to talk about, that's so frustrating.
That's a dietary problem.
Yeah. Yeah. You need some roughage.
Yeah.
When I started working at
greens. Yeah. Eat some greens.
When I started working at WWE, it was like, for whatever reason, I decided, you know what? I'm just going to have a big salad with every lunch that I have here. They had a great cafeteria. I would get whatever to eat,
yeah,
but I would get a big thing, just spinach too. I'm like, lettuce is a fucking joke.
Right.
Spinach.
Yeah, it's just water.
I started doing that. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, I've been pooping wrong my whole life. it changed everything. Everything.
It binds it, gives you the clean break. You barely have to wipe. That's what you should be doing with your son. Just right. Having a bunch of spinach down his throat.
He's well. That's what it is. It's like we're better.
It's not going to help him wipe.
He'll
he's
got to
learn
less
how to wipe. Oh,
no,
I see
what
you're
like
saying.
He right. Might not have the ability to get the job done if it's messy, but if it's simple.
Because I just was not a
but
big...
But like ease him into diarrhea?
Right.
Yeah. I see.
Perhaps.
Brian always calls it the leavener.
Yeah, you need a leavener, a binder. You know, like...
Smart guy.
Yeah, I'm super smart. Buddha Askew. Is your real name Buddha?
I don't know.
That's fantastic. Buddha Askew. Is that like you can't... Well, I guess no... Latin people name their kids Jesus, but you're not supposed to, you couldn't name your kid God and be Christian, I don't think.
Watch. Now that woman's going to show up on Maury looking for...
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I was wrong.
This is my baby.
I was just trying to
God.
Figure out what that was like.
Looking for his daddy. I'm back again, Maury.
I mean, yeah, there's plenty of Jesuses.
Yeah, I was gonna sure. Say, I was wondering if that was like blasphemous to Buddhists to name yourself Buddha.
Yeah, I think that might be like his stage name because he's a fat white guy, so he's like a white Buddha.
Oh, he's a comic too?
I
don't think that you can upset Buddhists. Isn't that part of the thing?
Well, Muslims are really upsetting them in Burma.
Buddhists?
Buddhists are waging a genocide in Burma, which is now known as Myanmar, but it's the real word,
oh.
Burma. They're killing all the Muslims. Isn't that weird?
Buddhists or Hindus?
There's a
really?
Buddhist-led genocide in Myanmar.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew that Hindus and Muslims didn't get along.
Yeah, they rub each other the wrong way.
Buddhist-led
genocide.
Wow.
And that's
so now they're setting other people on fire.
Yeah.
Instead of themselves.
Wow, yeah.
That's pretty crazy, right? Tag, you're it.
Wow. I'll have to look into this.
Buddha Eskew's gripe of the week is fleas. And that sucks. Get some dionysiaceous earth or whatever that shit is. That works really well.
What is that?
It's like a powder that is like made from seashells, but and it's so fine that you can walk over it, but fleas are so small that it like slices them up.
Oh, really?
Them. Yeah. Dionysiaceous. I don't have to say it. Wow. But fleas and Donald Trump.
Also, just fucking wash your dog. How about that?
Well, I mean, it's sometimes really hard to get rid of fleas with your dog. It can be pretty hard.
What do we
not
use?
With
we
don't
use
Frontex or whatever, or
yeah.
Frontier the Airlines Frontline. Or something. Well, yeah,
Frontline makes my dog sick, but we use Combo Guard.
Yeah, there's tons of shit.
The thing is, if there are animals in your yard, bring them in over and over again. You're just killing.
Yeah, but
new
here's
fleas.
The thing: is if it is because of a dog, if you give the dog Combo Guard, like our dog, whatever is on the dog will die immediately, and then anything that attaches itself to the dog will die immediately. So it's almost like this death vacuum.
It's like a bug zapper.
So like if you have
you turn your dog into a bug zapper.
Yeah, if you have fleas in the house, it will then go on to the dog until eventually they're all dead.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I think we had like when we had a dog, we had like a summer of fleas where it was just
it's bad.
I was
out
like,
here.
I was like, man, I didn't know I had freckles on my legs.
Summer of fleas sounds like an '80s anthem, like a Eagles guy's solo
summer
song.
Summer fleas,
back east, it's
make
ticks.
Me itch fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't really have ticks out here. They don't really have fleas back east. And then bed bugs is just fucking everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's so gross.
I don't want to talk about bed bugs. But also,
I've had them. We had them back in New York.
Did you have to throw away, like, do you have records? Are you a record guy? You like the dead.
You have to throw away your records?
I mean, they
if
can
you get
live in
bugs?
Paper.
They can, like, they could be in between the pages of a closed book.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. You guys are making me itch.
So
I one time I lived with a chick and we had bed bugs and she was real thirsty for the dick, if you know what I mean, like always constantly talking about dudes.
Is this in LA?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And constantly talking about dudes, constantly being on Tinder.
I will also take a friend request from her.
Matt McCarthy, folks. If you thought that was funny, follow him at Brian J. Vogel.
And then she finally got laid, and then she didn't feel the bed bugs anymore, and I told her that it was just she was itching for dick. That's all it was.
Wow.
She had dick bugs.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, did she clean her bedroom?
We lived in a studio together.
Oh.
So it was like, but she would constantly think that they were there and I wouldn't feel them. So I'm like, I think you might be mistaking mosquito bite, like, because we'd already had like several treatments.
Could have been dust mites if the place was dusty.
I mean, we cleaned.
She could have shook the dust off. You know what I mean?
The dust mites from within.
Yeah, dude. So all those people that are like in MacArthur Park and they're itching on the street, they just need some dick. Is that what you're saying? And then they'll stop itching.
Sure. Or a shower.
Or heroin.
Or heroin. It all helps.
It was just my way to make fun because she would constantly
shower amazing. Some heroin and some dick. Yes. I'm opening a shelter in Skid Row.
Heroin dick showers.
I saw them in 1992, the heroin dick showers.
Didn't you open for them?
No, they opened for me,
oh,
Carmen.
Easy. Jeez.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah, it's never a good episode. I know. Well, I think that does it. Jahan Sabir, you got Gripe of the Week, baby. Matt, tell everybody where to find you on the internet.
You can follow me on all forms of social media at McCarthy Redhead, and you can also go to thisismattmccarthy.com.
And that's McCarthy M-A-C-C or M-C-C?
M-C-C-A-R-T-H-Y.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Also, Matt works at Conan, and I already told you.
I don't work there. They bring me in to perform.
Well, they bring you in to perform there, sure. Yeah. But I was already told Matt, but I want to tell everybody, Matt did a segment, a bit, whatever, the jingles bit.
That was in studio.
That was in studio. Yes. It's one of the funniest things I've seen a late night sketch or
that's
whatever.
So weird you bring it up. I for whatever reason last night it popped into my head and I thought, oh, I'm gonna watch that, and then I got distracted and
it's
forgot
so
to look.
Funny, dude. We've,
it's so funny.
It's so funny that so I used to run the open mic at the Ice House until very recently. Until Comedian Cinema Club started being every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we show people comedians sketches on a before the mic. So at 7 o'clock, people gather into the room and we show all the stuff people have made, and we showed that just because we thought it was so funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah. What is it? How did? What's the title of that?
If you put in Conan and Jingles, or like the Jingle Doctor.
Jingle Doctor. Yeah. Please watch that. Matt's in it, and it is so funny.
Yes. Andre Dubuchet wrote it. It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, man. It had been a minute since I'd seen a late night thing that I really, really enjoyed. That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Conan's the last place on late night TV that is doing just straight up comedy and like far out goofy shit.
Yeah.
I was so happy to hear that when they were, you know, because it was going from an hour to 30 minutes, that they weren't getting rid of the comedy segment or the stand-ups segment.
Mm.
That made me real happy, because I was like, oh, that's got to be the first thing that's going to go.
Right.
You just get rid of the comic, but they eliminated one of the guests. Which
How many Conans have you done? How many Conan spots?
Oh, dozens.
Dozens?
Yeah, yeah. I was just there yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, doing a thing, doing a pre-tape for Comic-Con, because he does his big show in Comic-Con.
Oh, right. That Mad Max thing he did.
Oh, man.
That was so funny. Yeah. Damn, I love Conan.
He's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad. They asked me to be in another one, but I can't make the shoot date because I'm going to be in San Francisco for the We Watch Wrestling podcast live show.
Is that
July 7th?
Is that adjacent to a wrestling event that's happening in the Bay Area?
Yes, New Japan Pro Wrestling is putting on a show at the Cow Palace in Daly.
Cow Palace?
Yeah.
Wow,
that's great. Yeah. I love the Cow Palace.
Right? Never been.
Have you ever watched the video of Keith Moon passing out at Cow Palace?
Oh, is that at the Cow Palace?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, Keith Moon passes out, and then
they pull him off.
They drag him away.
Yeah.
They bring him back, and then he passes out again because he was taking horse tranquilizers.
Yeah.
And then so the second time, he plays for a minute, and then like a battery running out, he just slows down and passes out. And they just bring somebody up from the audience to play drums, and he's great.
Like, literally, Pete Townsend's like, does anybody here play drums?
At an arena show.
Right.
It's so funny. Anyway, thank you for being on the podcast, Matt.
Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're wonderful. Guys, please subscribe. Give us a sweet little rating on the iTunes. Follow us at No Sir Pod.
We also forgot to say, if you're shopping on Amazon, please just go to Brian Vokey, BryanVokey.com, and click the banner at the top, and it will lead you right to Amazon. Nothing changes. We just get a little money when you shop through Amazon, clicking on that banner.
We're trying to get up to a dollar right now, so we can put it back into the podcast.
We've gotten like $300 or $400 worth of sales, though, so people are doing it, and I appreciate it, because it's only 2 weeks or a week old now.
Yeah.
And and it helps the podcast. It's not just, it's my website until we get a No Sir website, but it's going to the podcast, not to me. So if you don't like me and you do like Carmen, you're still helping Carmen.
You're still contributing.
Right. Please, just go to BrianVokey.com, click the banner, shop as normal, email us at nosirpod@gmail.com. Follow us on all the social media. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? Why are you stupid away?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What are you stupid away?
What is the fucking matter?
No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want it.